A homeless child to shepherds shown, an infant king newborn, has come to make a cross his throne, his crown a crown of thorn. The Son of God to save us all, to bear our earthly pains. This child within the cattle stall, as King of glory reigns. A blessed Christmas to each and every one of you. Great to have you here today to celebrate this birth of our Savior. It is one of those things that is joyous, certainly. Everybody can get on board with celebrating Christmas. It's a neat story. It's a cute thing. A child in a manger in Bethlehem. Most of the world can get on board with that. But the thing is that we recognize that this wasn't just about a cute story. This is about the salvation of the world. That what the Christ child came to do was deadly serious. And it is because he was victorious in his mission that we celebrate today. That in the words of John chapter 1 verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Last night on Christmas Eve, you could say that we were all in maybe what you'd call manger mode. You know, marveling at the story. All the drama on Christmas Eve. There's the glory of the angels and the intimacy of Mary and Joseph and the baby in the stable. There's the miracle and the heavenly choirs and just, there's so much that we just take in and marvel at. Mary and Joseph making their way 70 miles to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus decided to take a census of the entire Roman world. God moving Caesar to move Mary and Joseph from Nazareth down to Bethlehem to make sure that they were in the place that they needed to be. But of course, Mary and Joseph arrive, and you know this how the story goes. There's no room in the inn because, of course, everybody else got there sooner. They could travel faster. All the guest rooms and inns, everything was taken up. Which, you know, it's one thing to sleep out on the ground at night for a night or two until you find some accommodations. But when your wife is great with child and the baby's coming, needs must. And so the stable with the straw and the manger and nearby water and all the things that were necessary and needed for Mary to bring forth her firstborn son wrapped in strips of cloth and placed in a manger so that she could have a chance to recover from such an unusual delivery. Meanwhile, outside in the hill country, just another quiet Middle Eastern night on the hillsides of Judea, shepherds keeping watch over their flocks at night, keeping each other safe and warm, when an angel suddenly appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And not surprisingly, they were terrified. Probably the sheep too. But the angel not only allayed their fears, he turned their anxiety in the moment into curiosity for what God had done. And so to the sound of angelic choirs singing glory and praise to the Lord, they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened. After all, the Lord has told us about it. So they went and they found it all, left their campsite behind, headed into town, found everything just as the angel had said. It's got to be a little bit interesting. Mary and Joseph, all of a sudden, these shepherds showing up at the entryway to the stable. But I'm sure that somewhere in the conversation, those shepherds mentioned that an angel had appeared to them. And Mary and Joseph could say, me too. And in that shared experience, they could rejoice in that connection with the Lord. Their place in the grand scheme of history, that in this moment, at this time, this child is born to redeem those under law. Couldn't only imagine how long they sat and talked and marveled and wondered at the whole thing. Eventually, the shepherds went on their way, Mary pondering all these things, not just that night, but for the rest of her life. Those shepherds too, I'm sure, thought about it the rest of their lives too. After all, their lives were changed forever. And as they made their way back out to their campsite on the hillside, everyone they saw, they told everything that they had seen. And I'm sure it didn't end there. I mean, they got back to their campsite, and I'm sure that they found themselves unable to sleep, wide awake after all that had happened, sitting there talking and marveling and wondering some more. Also think that later on in their lives, as time passed, that every time they went by that spot, they would say, yeah, that's where it was. That's where we were camped when that angel appeared to us. Remember that? And I'm sure their kids, as they walk by every time, would just like, we've heard this story, Dad, again and again. But what an amazing thing. Out there, being able to witness all of that. Have you ever had a memorable camping trip? And I'm not talking about glamping, you know, where you basically put your house on wheels and pull it off. I'm talking about the on the ground, maybe you have a tent, maybe you don't, you know, out there camping, you have a memorable camping trip. I think that a lot of us, pretty much anybody that has ever done the actual camping thing, has a memorable story, and it almost invariably involves battling the elements and somehow surviving through it all. I can remember one camping trip where we battled oppressive heat followed by torrential rains and tornadic activity. Eventually went back to homes for the night and then got back together again the next day after the storm had passed to clean up all the stuff we'd left behind and spend the rest of the weekend together. Did you ever notice how in those stories of survival in camping trips, that as horrendous as it was, that there's always this little bit of joy and pride at having survived to be able to tell the tale? As we look at John chapter 1, John shares with us that mystery of the incarnation, Christ wrapping himself in human flesh, becoming like one of us, to be among us, to dwell among us. And literally, John describes this incarnation of Christ as a camping trip. Literally in the Greek, he said, the word became flesh and tented among us. Jesus giving up the glories of heaven. Last night, we heard through the course of the readings how when Jesus was there at the beginning for creation, all creation made through him, and then when it was marred by sin, promised to come, God, in flesh and blood, because that's what it would take to save fallen mankind. Abraham getting that promise again that through his descendants, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And then Isaiah prophesying the peace that the Christ would bring. Oh, and then that story of Luke chapter 2 that we just talked through, all of it, so that Jesus would come to be your Savior and mine, all of human history, being the preparation for that moment. And John describes it as a camping trip, tenting among us. Talk about a memorable camping trip. But like all camping trips, isn't it true that while there are lots of stories about moments of glory and miracles, none of it would have mattered if it were not for the humiliation and the suffering and the death on the cross? I mean, his story should have been our story because of our sin and our unbelief. But as you'll notice in the prayer of the day today, our deepest prayer on this day of celebration is not one of asking to join the angelic choirs, to have opportunity to share the good news, though we do ask for that. No, our prayer, our deepest need on this day, Almighty God, grant that the birth of your only Son in the flesh may set us free from our old bondage under the yoke of sin, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the midst of this world's brokenness, the specific glory of God that Christ chose to reveal to us is his undeserved love in action, in the truth and the reality that he brings his power and might to bear for you and me in an unexpected way, dwelling among us, camping with us for a time, that we would be free of the bondage of sin and death to live with him for eternity. Dear Christian friend, on him depend. Be of good cheer and let no sorrow move you, for God's own child in mercy mild joins you to him. How greatly God must love you. Amen. Please stand.